shrine to worship a particular god. They may put stone, it may be animal, or it may be anything. Those gods are not alive. Hello? The life they have, you gave it to them. Because when God, the Heavenly Father, when Jehovah was creating mankind, the only being that he gave the creative ability that has the right to create things, just like the Almighty God is human being. Hello? So name it, any idol from your village doesn't have life. The life that he has, you gave it to them. And you can take it back. Hello? You can dethrone them in the name of Jesus because they can't do you anything except you are ignorant. Hello? So, the gods of this world, they are dead. They don't have life in them. But glory be to God, we are serving the Almighty God. All the might that be, every power that be, belong to Jehovah. And that same God has mandated you to go on his behalf and dominate this earth. And dominate this entire universe in his behalf. There is no devil that has the capacity to stop you except you allow him. Hello? They don't have the capacity. Hello? There is a difference between if somebody has the ability to do something, but he doesn't want to do it. But this one, the God of this world, they don't have life. The life that they possess, you gave it to them. God was speaking to Moses in Exodus chapter 7. And he says, see, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh. He said what? He said, see, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh. Because when he made man, in Genesis chapter 1, starting from verse 26, he said, let us make man in our own image and let them have dominion. Let them have authority. Let them have rulership over the entire earth. And so, God has seeded that one unto humanity, unto mankind. Hello? So forget about all those idol worshippers. They are liars, they are deceivers. They can only take advantage of your ignorance. Hello? And that's why I told you that if there is any Christian that is still afraid of witch, you have to examine his head. Because witches are just ordinary human beings that are possessed by demons. And Bible made us to understand that even Lucifer, that is the head of the demons, is under your feet. So how can you be afraid of a person that is possessed by a demon? It is just peculiar ignorance that is disturbing you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we started looking at the issue of prayer. That there is no man that can ever rise above the level of his prayer. It is absolutely impossible. It is not possible. And therefore, anything that wants to kill your prayer life, wants to destroy you, you will not be a mincemeat for the devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every devil that is trying to manipulate you into stopping, I want to manipulate you into going into cold. I mean, how do I put it? To becoming cold on your prayer altar. That devil is judged within the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we said, the issue of prayer is not something that, okay, if I wish, or something that is peculiar to a particular church, or not, because this church prays more than another church. No, every church is supposed to pray. Every individual is supposed to pray. You cannot say as a wife, oh, my honey, my husband is a very spiritual man. He prays a lot, so he's covering me in my prayer altar. No, you are wasting your time. You are supposed to pray as well. Hello? Some people try to go around and say, okay, no, I have the ministry of prayer. No, every believer is called to pray. Jesus said, pray without what? Without ceasing. He didn't say if you are a bishop. He didn't say if you are a man of the house. He didn't say if you are the wife. Thank God last week, our mama here that I came to minister to us said a lot about prayer. Without a burning prayer altar, without a fervent or healthy prayer altar, you are going nowhere, sir. But as for you, the heaven is empowering you afresh to pray with the result in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will prevail on the prayer altar in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus prayed and he received result. As from today, every of your prayer, result to match will come in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we look at it and say that it is very important. In Genesis chapter 3, the mouth of the Lord himself prophesied that the seed of the woman will come to crush the authority of the devil. Isn't it? Talking about Jesus. But Jesus did not come until people were, they stood praying for years. I'm praying, oh God, let the Messiah come and deliver us. We also made reference to the fact that the Lord spoke to Abraham that his children or his grandchildren's generation will go to another land to serve a land that the people that they don't know, they didn't know before. But he said he will visit them after the fourth generation. One generation is one, how many years? 100 years. 100 years passed. 200 years, 300 and 400. When it was 400 years, were they delivered? They were not delivered because the devil that is taking advantage of them didn't want to let them go. Until they belted up and prayed and said, oh Lord, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, deliver us. And God said, I heard their cry. So if you have a baby, our mamas are here now. If you have your baby and you put the baby in the room, you are busy maybe watching your favorite movie in the living room, and the baby is not crying, will you be worried? No. But once you hear mwah, you switch it off, you quickly go there. Hello? So nothing happened until they prayed. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so there is a need to pray. Don't assume that, oh, God knows everything. Yeah, he knows everything, but he still asks you to pray. Thank you, Jesus. And the second time, we look at the fact that it is not enough to just pray. It is not enough to shout. It is not enough to go on 7 days, 27 days, or even 100 days fasting and prayer. You can fast and pray and come back as worse. So it's not the number of days per se. It's not even how long you stay on that mountain. No, it's not how many words you put together. It's not how eloquent you are. It's not the dimension of the grammar, how articulate you are to use the word. You know, some people are very, very good in grammar. They say, oh God, they speak grammar. But that's not it. It doesn't guarantee answers to prayer. The only thing that guarantees answers to prayer is praying according to God's will. Let's go to the word of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he said, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14 now says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, how many things?
Anything.
According to his will, he heareth us. So if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15 says, and if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. But if we ask anything according to his will, your prayer must be in line with the will of God. Hello? The prayer must be in line with the will of God for you to receive any answer. Otherwise, it is just a religious exercise. You know, like last time when I was ministering about this, I said, why is it that a lot of people don't pray? Do you know why? Because it's difficult? No. Stop. Because it's word, isn't it? You know why most people don't pray? They don't get results. That's the reason. Because naturally, you are motivated to go to a place where you're getting results. Nobody will have to beg you. Hello? It's natural. You don't even have to be spiritual about that one. If you have a car and you know that you go to a particular filling station, every time you drive in, you are able to get your fuel. But another filling station, every time, maybe out of 10 times you went there, you were only able to get it 2 times. If you have your alternative, will you go to that filling station? You won't go there. Or you go to a particular restaurant, every time you ask for a particular meal that you want, they say, you tell you, oh, we didn't have it today, come back tomorrow. If you have option, maybe you have your special friend visiting you, will you go there? You won't go there. And so if you pray and you get answers, you will be motivated to pray always. People are not getting answers because a lot are not praying according to the will of God. We are just involved in religion. Like the prophet of Baal. You know prophet of Baal? You remember the prophet of Baal? How many of us know prophet of Baal? They prayed to death and they started cutting themselves and blood started coming out. Did they get the result? No result. In fact, I like that prophet. He started mocking them. Say, oh, well, maybe your king, maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he has traveled, he's on semester. He visits the south of Sweden, enjoying holiday. No! It doesn't work that way. If you are getting results, you are naturally motivated. James chapter 4 and in verse 1. James 4 verse 1, he said, from whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that were in your members? He said, ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. He said, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss. What's the meaning of amiss? Astray, wrong one. You see, they were busy with activities, but activity does not equal to reality. You can be sincere and be praying and be fasting and not still be getting results. Hello? You know, I want us to quit the realm of religion and come to the realm of reality now. They are busy praying. Like in Isaiah chapter 58, they were busy fasting. And fasting and fasting and fasting to the extent that some of them almost became sick. And at the point I said, oh, but God, why are we not getting this? God said, this is not the kind of fasting that I've ordained. You are busy fasting, but you are just going on hunger strike. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So what I'm trying to talk about is that prayer has to be made according to the standard God that of God to attract results. It's not about shaking our heads. It's not about shouting. It's not about going into it. No. It has to be in line with the will of God. He said, you receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Somebody say, oh God, if I can get money to buy a Mercedes, maybe even he doesn't need Mercedes now. He's asking amiss. Maybe what he needs is a good job. Hello? And maybe he even need that Mercedes, but the reason behind it is just to go and oppress his neighbor. And God say, I'm not giving you Mercedes for that. The Mercedes I'm giving you is supposed to be a tool that we use to achieve the assignment that I'm giving unto you. Hello? So if you see that car as a tool in achieving God's plan and purpose, then it will come. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we are asking for things for our own lust. Oh God, if I can build a house. Do you want to build a house to brag to people that, okay, you two want to belong? Or you want to build a house for the glory of God? Hallelujah. Because we do things just for doing it's sake. Because others are doing it. Because others are dressing this particular way, have to dress that particular way in order to belong. No. Bible says you are a peculiar nation. You are a pace setter. You are supposed to be setting pace. You are not supposed to be copying them. You know, there are three categories of people in the world. People who don't know what is happening. Hello? There are people who don't know what is happening. There are people who watch things happen. And there are people who make things happen. Among those who make things happen is you. God has called you to be among those people. Hello? So you are not supposed to be watching, you'll be following after them. No. You are a peace setter. You are a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hidden. But this can only happen by aligning yourself with the will of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. There, They came to Jesus in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. He said, and it came to pass that as he was praying, who was that he? Jesus. Jesus was praying. And he said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased or when he finished praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciple. Hello? He said, Lord, because they watched this man called Jesus. If he says to this one, demon, go, demon departed. Abba. They watched this man, he spoke to a tree and said, you tree, nobody will ever eat from you. Within 24 hours, that tree was gone. They look at the way he was confronting the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. They look at him. They could see that there is something in this man that is so special. What is his secret? And they concluded by saying that the time he spent in separation or in seclusion, communicating with his father, is the time when he was always empowered to do what he's doing now. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when you spend more time with God, you won't have to bow down before any man. You just enter the situation, you make a decree. No one, the Bible says, decree a thing and it shall be established. If you don't spend time in your prayer closet, you will decree, oh, nothing will happen. In fact, they will slap you on top of it. Hallelujah. Like the seven sons of Sceva. They say, in Jesus, you demon, go out in the name of Jesus. We know Jesus, we don't know you. He beat the hell out of them. Hello? You spend your time in the prayer closet. And when you appear the following day at work, you look at your boss or someone that has been trying to resist and to oppress you, he will look down. Why? The lion in you has come out. Hello? You know, Jesus went to the altar to sacrifice his life as a lion. I mean, as a sheep, but he conquered as a lion. If you don't have a lion heart, you can't have a lion share. You need a lion heart to have a lion share in this life. You are living in a nation where you have a lot of things against you. They discriminate against you because of your race. They discriminate against you because of your education. They discriminate against you because of your even the ability to speak the language. You need a lion heart to get the lion share. And where do you get the lion heart? In the cinema? No. In the prayer altar. You are looted. You hear the voice of God. Bible said that the voice of God is like many waters. So when you hear that voice of God, it naturally impacts you. In you, the heart of a lion. There is spiritual heart transplantation that takes place. He takes that heart. And then next time you call that devil, say, shut up! And because he knows that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, he will bow. Thank you, Jesus. And so they asked, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus didn't say, oh, but you know, you are a Jew. Because as a Jew, they were raised to know how to pray. It wasn't a big deal to them to pray. And you remember that some of these guys were they were with John the Baptist before they moved to Jesus. And John already taught them to pray. But they still discovered that there is something in the prayer life of this man called Yeshua. That they need to know, that they needed to know. And so they ask him, they say, teach us to pray. What I'm trying to drive out is this. Brethren, it is not enough to shout. It is not enough to fast. It is not enough to even set yourself or set up apart to cry unto God. If your prayer is not in line with the will of God, it's a waste of time. Thank you, Jesus. And so, we have to be taught. It is in the kingdom of God that we celebrate ignorance. But in any kingdom, ignorance is a liability. There's no you celebrating ignorance. Say, okay, I come to share testimony today. What's your testimony? And I don't know how to use any phone. They will say, they need help. Let's call ambulance. Because it means help. You don't celebrate ignorance. Ignorance, it stinks. It robbed people of their glory. And so Jesus said, he responded this way in verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So in earth, give us this day our daily. So Jesus practically taught them how to pray. He didn't ask them to go and be chanting it and be singing songs about it. No, he taught them, he gave them the principle behind the prayer that will prevail. He said, you start by what? Say, our Father. Acknowledge God as your Father in heaven. Hallow him, or you worship him. Because the Bible said, enter his gate with thanksgiving, isn't it? And in his gate are angels. You cannot bribe angels. There's no other way. You either have the password or you stay there forever. And the password is praises. So you hallow him, you worship him, you appreciate him, and you go in. And when you get in, then you seek his kingdom. And what is next? His will. Thank you, Jesus. And so as we attempt to round up today, what are the foundation for answered prayers? Remember last time we looked at the subject of love. Because the Bible says in the book of Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Can we go there? Zechariah 12, 10. He said, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Supplication talk about intercession. He said, I will empower them to pray. He said, but before that, I will give them the spirit of grace. What is the spirit of grace? Hello? You should remember this. That was the last message that I preached before. The spirit of grace is talking about the spirit of mercy, or the spirit of unconditional love. That was why we asked our brother to read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that talks about love. Without the love of God burning in your heart, forget, you don't have a future in the kingdom of God. Without the love of God burning in your heart, because that is the foundation of all. That is the foundation of all. You can be so religious, but without the love of God in your heart, everything is fake. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have no charity, or I don't have God's kind of love. You remember charity organizations? Charity organizations are the organizations that give help to people who doesn't deserve it. Hello? So that's why the King James Version translated it into charity, to mean charity. That is love by choice. Love that gives things not because the person, the receiver, deserves it. Hello? That you can't earn it. You can't earn that kind of love. It's just given. And that's what we call the God's kind of love, or what the Greek people call agape love, which is unconditional love. Love that is there. Whether the person is nice to you or not, doesn't make a difference. Hallelujah. It's love by choice. And the Bible said that, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and I have no love, or I have no God's kind of life, he said, love, he said, I become as a sounding brass on a tinkling cymbals. Just empty noise. He said, although I have the gift of prophecy. Is it good to have the gift of prophecy? Of course it's good. And I understand all mysteries. That means I'm a teacher of the world. I know everything. I know the depth from Genesis to Revelation. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountain, I have no love. He said, I am nothing. That means it's not about title. No. You can be a bishop and not be walking in love. You can be a deacon and not be walking in love. You can be a founder of a church. You know, some people go into ministry just because they want money. Some can go into ministry just because there's pressure. And say, okay, well, I don't know what to do again, let me do. Some can even go into ministry. It may even be called. He said, I'm going to the ministry just to please God. No. That's not the right reason. I'm going to ministry because I need to be there, because God created me to be in the ministry. Hallelujah. To serve my God. Because I just love him. And so it is not your ministry that qualifies you, really. You know, before Jesus started preaching, The word of God came to him. He said, this is my only begotten son in whom I am well pleased. He didn't say who has preached from Genesis, I mean, from Nazareth to every part of Israel. No. God still said, I am well pleased with you before you started preaching. So it is not because you are preaching that makes you a pleaser of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you getting this one now? So don't even let the work of God disturb your relationship with God. Don't be so busy with the work of God that you don't have the time for the God of the work. Do you know, as a pastor or as a preacher, I can study because I want to preach. But I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to study to feed myself. Hello? And out of the abundance, then come to do what I'm giving you. Because what God cannot do through me, he can't do for me. What God cannot do through me, he cannot do. What God cannot do in me, he can't do through me. Hallelujah. If I'm not walking in love, and I'm still asking you to walk in love, I'm a fake. Thank you, Jesus. That's the way it is. Hallelujah. He said, and though I bestow all my goods, that's verse 3, I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be born and have no love, not love, no charity, it profited me nothing. Verse 13 said, and now abideth faith and hope and love, all these three, but the greatest is love. The greatest is love. As we close, what are the proofs that the love is there? There must be proofs. Because anybody can say anything, and I love God. You know when we sing song, oh, I love Jesus. Yes, you can sing. But do you love him? Until that love is tested, you don't know. Anybody can say, okay, if the lady is pretty and everything is is shining, but like normally say, during the wedding ceremony, next 20 years, if you are unable to carry her, the statue has changed. Will you still love her? Hello. Or if you come to marry him as a bank manager, but now he's the manager of the bus stop. We used to stay. That is the big question. We used to stay. Thank you, Jesus. What are the proof of love? Let's just conclude with that so that you can go home and rest. Hallelujah to Jesus. Number one proof of love is obedience. Say obedience.
Obedience.
Say obedience.
Obedience.
1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Because talk is cheap. You can say, okay, Lord God, save me. Hey, anywhere I will go. If he says you go to Timbuktu, or you go to Maiduguri, or the... Hello? You know, many people, if they say there's a calling, maybe it's based in a village in Nigeria, and say, okay, there's a calling, we are sending you to U.S., New York, to go and pastor a church. You won't, most likely, you will not even pray over it. Say, hallelujah, I received it. I received it in Jesus' name. But by the time you say, you go to Abba, I check it again. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. So obedience is easy when you remember, but when the chiefs are down, what's the proof of that love? When you go to the street to preach and you share the flyers, you share 20, you try to give 20 people, not even one receive it. Will you go next time?
For that boy.
Hallelujah. Amen. That is it. Or you share your faith with them at work. You tell somebody, oh, I'm a believer. I say, oh, yeah, okay. Will you stay? Or will you hide your Bible next time? Obedience. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. The commandment of God is not to grieve us, it's not to harm us, it is to groom us, to bring the best out of us. But if you don't love God, it will be difficult to obey him. You told a man that has been waiting for a child for 25 years, and now you ask that to go and sacrifice that child, he will start binding and losing. In Jesus' name, oh no, I receive it not. This must be demon. Hello? But Abraham carried, they said, I will have, Lord, I love you. Doesn't make a difference. Whatever you want, Lord, I will do. The commandment of God are not grievous. John chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, 21, he said, he that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. So, if you are not keeping his commandment, you don't love him. And you know, I was speaking with some people during the week, and I said, my concern is this. When I was growing up as a child in Nigeria, I was raised in a Baptist church where we nobody ever spoke in the Holy Ghost there. In fact, I couldn't remember a time when anybody, any pastor say, okay, those who are sick, let's come and lay hands on them. You understand? I'd like to tell you how ordinary we were. But people still have the godliness, the nature of God was still in them. The church, they didn't put any special policeman to be guard to be protecting the church because there's no armed robber that will come to the church. Hello? Abba. But now we speak in the Holy Ghost. Our armed robber is coming. They will just wait until you finish collecting the offering. I say, okay, we have come. We are in the bank. Bring it. Hello? Are we truly obeying God or are we faking it? Abba. They so much respected the church that when the masquerade people are passing, you know, then in Nigeria, they normally write, you are passing the church environment, every noise must cease. In Yoruba, they say, Dake Ilua Ti Ariwo. And you will see masquerade people, they will stop their drum to respect the church and still pass without making a noise. But now, hello? Now, masquerade is pursuing people to enter the church. What are we talking about? Are we deceiving ourselves? Or are we real? And we are still celebrating. We are saying we have the power of the Holy Ghost. Where is that power of the Holy Ghost? Where is the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives? Bible said in Antioch, they were called Christians for the first time because they looked at them. They saw the godly character they possessed. They looked at the godliness in them. And they said, these are Christians. Can they say concerning you that you are a Christian now? Hello? Can they say concerning me that I'm a Christian? We have to watch it. Does my life reflect the nature of Jesus? When people read your life without seeing the Bible, will they still believe that God is alive? Because everywhere where they receive Christ into their life, their proof was in the change of their character. Does our character portray the nature of God that we are talking about now? So, you know, one of the challenges that we have that is even making more people not to come into Christ is because they look at our lives, especially the so-called believers of nowadays. We don't have the proof, sir. How will a pastor be manipulating people and be prophesying so that they can give more money? Where is the Holy Spirit? Where is the fear of God? In our hearts. Hello? They went to the extent of placing special chairs in special places for some people just because he's giving more. Where's the Holy Spirit in this? Would Jesus do that? No. Most of the rich ones in his assembly, who heard about this man, Joseph, the one that collected the body of Jesus when he died. Nobody heard anything about him until Jesus died and he was to be buried. But he was a multi-millionaire there and was part of the congregation of Jesus. But his name was not mentioned once. That means to tell you that Jesus did not say, okay, because you are a millionaire, you are a member of my church, you know, I always mention your name. But that's what we do now. When we are praying for those who give more, anointing comes. Strong man. What are we doing? Do we have the love of God in my heart? Thank you, Jesus. He said, if you love him, you will obey him. Number two, if you love God, you will love his word. Hello? If you are not a lover of the word of God, you don't love God. My wife gave me the story of when she was in school, one boy. See, every time they make amala, that, you know, and the mama is ready with the amala.
That boy will just burst into singing. Hey, Father, thank you for this Amala. The boy so much, like, you know, love Amala. Every time Amala lands, he will sing KBS. Are we going to sing KBS when we are thirsting after the word of God? Do we appreciate the word of God that same way? Or when it is time for the word of God, say, change that channel. Hallelujah. Change that channel. Let's listen to something else. Do you love the word? Do you love the word of God? Psalms 119 verse 97. He said, in Psalms 119 verse 97. He said, how love I thy law or thy word. It is my meditation all the day. How did David become a reference point? This man loved the word. He loved the word of God. And every time he was secluded, he was found in a place where there's no disturbance. He meditated on the word of God. What does it mean to meditate on the word of God? To think about it, to ponder about the word of God. Every time you are driving, you are walking, every time, think about the word. You know, those who think about the word of God can never lose relevance. You know why? He said it in the book of Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart. Hello. But he said, you will meditate in it day and night. And through that, you will get good success. So those who are loaded with the word, they are always relevant. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Ezekiel 3, 1. Ezekiel 3, I said, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roe, or eat this crow, or eat this word. And go and speak unto the house of Israel. He says, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roe, or to eat the word. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roe or with the word that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Is the word sweet in your mouth? Hello? Is the word sweet? Are you meditating about the word day and night? If you don't love the word of God, you don't love God. So check yourself. Check your heart. What value do I place on the word of God? You know, when we're growing up, they so much respect the Bible that we were even told that if you drop the Bible, you can become mad. Hallelujah. Even though that is not true. But that is to tell you the value. You will never go to any Christian house then and you find the Bible on the floor anyhow. No. But now, where do people put their Bible? Even if you come to people's house and say, okay, let me pray with you, bring your Bible, you will be looking for it because you didn't know where he put it. You didn't know where last he used it. So he's looking for it. Hello? We buy the best phone. If I say lift up your Bible now, how does it look? Do you place value on it? What value? You know, I told my kids, you don't play with this. We throw it anyhow. You see my other side. This is my life. Thank you, Jesus. Number three, if you love God, you will speak about God. Because it's natural. When you love somebody, you speak about that person. Hello? So if you find it difficult to witness to others about Jesus, you don't love God. If you are running away from evangelism, you don't love God. Do you love Him? Do you speak about Him? Hello? Do you speak about Him with people? You know, it's not just about the corporate evangelism that, okay, this the church has organized it. Yeah, church do organize that one. But people, what of personal one? People in your working place. People in your neighborhood. Even your old friends. The guy has been crying, send money to me. Yeah, send Jesus to him first. Hello? Let him know that if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. That no matter how much I pump into your life, when Jesus is not there, it won't amount to be anything.
And he who plays the piper dictates the tune. He will listen.
Hello? Because the same Bible said every mouth will kiss the mouth that has the answer. He knows that your life, you are shining. So when you tell him that Jesus is Lord, he says, I must consider it. If you love God, we talk about God. Psalms 119 verse 6. He said in Psalms 119 verse 6, verse 46 rather, he said, I will speak of thy testimony also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. So when you love God, you will speak about God to others. Thank you, Jesus. Number four, when you love God, you will love giving. You see, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave, not that he sang. Anybody can sing. Hey. But when it comes to giving, what does it cost you to serve God? Hello? You know, at the time, you remember when we were talking about buying the bus for the church? Because we believe that, of course, and we are still going to believe God to buy it, of course, to move more people. But the truth is that, what if we don't have it now? What does it cost me to go to serve God? Hello? You know, one of my friends then said, Pastor, yes, it's nice to buy this bus, but the truth is that anyone that will not come, now, even when the bus is there, he won't come. And it is true. Hello? Because he will look for one excuse or the other. What does it cost you to go and serve God? Ethiopian Union, you to travel all the way from Africa to Israel every year to serve God. Let's stand up. What does it cost you to serve God? If the church is your master and God has called you to be there, are you going to go? Or you say, okay, Penda Talk is misbehaving today. I received the calling to sleep in the home. Hallelujah. You quickly change your plan. But when it's time to go to work, even when the wind is blowing contrary, you still call them. Hello, I'm coming. So that don't put any other person in my place, I'm coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when it is things of God, we say, slightest challenge, I have to go home now today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he said, eyes have not seen. He has heard. Abba, what he has prepared for those that love him. There is nothing, I mean it, nothing that you need or your need that cannot be supplied if you're a lover of God. Hallelujah. It's not about having big money in your account, though. It's about having this big God with you. You see all your needs met as at when due. Anytime before you think of that need, God, heaven is supplying. Before you think about your job, there's a need to change job. Doors opening. He will take you. Look at them. Look at what he did with a lover. Joseph. Abba. Everybody hated him in the family. Even when he related the dream to the daddy started thinking, you mean that even myself and your mama will bow. You see, but as a lover of God, even though he was challenged, but from the prison, he ended up in the palace. You will end up in the palace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say you will end up in the palace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every devil that mocks you, the judgment acts of God fall upon that devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But do you love God? What does it cost you to serve him? What does it cost you to witness? What does it cost you to come to God's house? Because if you're a lover of God, you will love his house. Hallelujah. If you love God, you will love his house. Do they have to go to run around after you and be checking you? Hey, are you coming today or not? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you love his house? The psalmist wrote in Psalms 122 and verse 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. He said, I was glad. So when you hear about the house of God, how do you feel? Of course, there are challenges here and there. That is going on. Devil uses some people and hijacking some ministries. But that is not enough. To say, no, every ministry, I mean, they are just evil. And somebody said, oh, I won't go to church, oh, because they are Western Union. I said, what's the meaning of Western Union? He said, all of them, they want to send money home. That's why they set up ministry. I said, the devil just wants to deceive you and take you to hell. We are not in the ministry for that, sir. Hello? We are there to be instruments in the hands of God to advance his kingdom. And he has called you and I. We are privileged to serve in that capacity. And I know that next time when you show up in your family, they will see the Jesus in you, the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Whatsoever they have been looking at, and they are saying, oh, there is nothing to show that he's serving God in that dimension. Then God of heaven will prove himself on your behalf in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Maybe the issue of your head has been making them to doubt that you are serving God. As the Lord liveth, you will become an instrument that God will be used to lay hands on them for their healings. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Maybe they have been looking at the issue of your finances, that to the extent that even when they want to do any project, they don't remember you anymore. But as the Lord liveth, you will be the one that will be dictating the project that will be done in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord God of heaven will visit you afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You know, I kept on hearing it. Celebration. Jubilation. Celebration. Jubilation. Celebration. Jubilation. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will celebrate in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. People will jubilate with you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As we partake of this communion, I want to read one scripture. The book of Esther, chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. As we take the communion, in Esther, chapter 6 and verse 12, talking about the case of Mordecai, there was a man called Haman. He hated this man with passion. This man was a gate man. But the one that hated him was a high rank officer that was so close to the king. He had no reason envy this gate man. Hello? So it's not just because you are at the top, they are envying you. You don't have to do anything for people to hate you. But look at how God reacted here. He said, in verse 12, Esther chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house, mourning. That means after he was disgraced, he said, mourning. I said, having his head covered in shame, of course. He said, and Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him. He said, if Mordecai be of the seed of Jew, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. He said, this man that you are trying to fight, as long as he's a seed of Abraham, you cannot prevail against him. Are you a seed of Abraham? Are you a seed of Abraham? Can you give us the slide for the year? That slide for the prophetic focus for the year. He said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Can we have it? He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that who hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? We, who are not biological children of Abraham, isn't it? He said, the blessing of Abraham. What's the blessing of Abraham? God spoke to Abraham. He said, whosoever curse you, I will curse. Whosoever bless you, I will bless. And so they tried to bring this man down. He was just ordinary gate man in the king's palace. But the wife of the officer said, as long as this man is a seed of Abraham, you cannot prevail against him. This same Haman, he provided, you know what you call a gulo? I won't call that where they hang people. What is it called? A gallow. He brought a gallow for them to hang Mordecai. They ended up hanging him there. That's why I know everyone that is waiting for you to die will be buried in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Everyone that is waiting for your children to be buried, he will not see next week in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, as long as he's a seed of Abraham or he's a Jew, you can't prevail against him. Look at what is happening now. Many nations around Israel. The more they struggle, the more they go, they get become smaller. And you have been privileged to be called as a seed of Abraham. Are you a seed of Abraham? When next any devil try to attack you, you will be fried in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I want you to live with that mentality. If you have not got anything today, he said, as long as that man is a seed of Abraham, you cannot prevail against him. At your working place, anybody that comes together to bring you down will be served in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. See, I want you to be fully conscious of that. You may be a gatekeeper, you may be a cleaner. Abba, you must be a cleaner with honor. Abba, they must see you and bow down for your God, sir.
Amen.
No, it's an abuse of redemption for a Christian to be bowed down somewhere. For what? Abba, I want you to react. Begin to pray right now that every devil that looks at me at the face, the judgment acts of God come against that devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Anyone that say your children will not advance, any devil that say your destiny will not prevail, that devil must bow in the name of Jesus Christ. Ratesaka pakata, ezesekepe, imkoto soto, lisikata, eketekeregetekese, inkapapa pasete yegedebe, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. He said, do you know, wait, hallelujah to Jesus. Do you know who was speaking here? You know, in the old time, these people, they were not Christians then. But they had people they called the wise men. They were not ordinary wise men, no. They were people that were normally trained, highly skillful, and also spiritually powerful. So they were telling him that despite our expertise, we can't help you. The only way out is to leave this man Mordecai. He said, as long as you keep on pursuing him and he remains as the seed of Abraham, you will be crushed. God told Abraham, he said, whoever bless you, I will bless. And whoever curse you, I will curse. Is he not doing it now?
Yes.
You try and curse Israel, you are gone. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a nation that is fighting Israel that prevail or that prosper? No. It's impossible. Because you can't fight God. You can't fight God and win. As we partake of the communion today, you are empowered to live like Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because the only thing that can make you to leave that zone is disobedience. You remember, as long as Israel keep on doing the will of God, they are prevailing. But anytime the devil wants to get them, he say, you are the master of your own. Leave that God. And once they come out of this door, out of the safety zone, he said, who dwell in the secret place of the Most High? So once you leave the secret place, you are gone. So as we partake of the covenant today, the grace for obedience, the grace to stay, come what may. The grace to stay put, that even when it doesn't look as if it was happening, when there's nothing to show, Abraham still stood 25 years. But you don't know what to stay for 25 years. Somebody has not even stayed for 1 year for a job. You say, that God, I don't even think he's answering prayer. Hallelujah. It's not just me, just stayed for 1 year. This man stood for 25 years. All his organs packed off, and the organ of his wife. That even if you go to bed, the best doctor, they couldn't handle it. But Jesus handled it. Let us pray. That in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, as we partake of this communion, we are imparted with the grace to obey. He said, whosoever eateth my blood, I'm a drinker my blood, and eateth my flesh, will live like me. Jesus lived all his life in obedience. As we partake of it, we receive the grace for obedience in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Grace to obey God. Grace to love God, come what may, we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let us also decree that whatsoever kind of weakness we are passing through right now, maybe bodily or spiritually, or even maybe mentally, Lord, we are empowered afresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every form of weakness must give way right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No more weakness.
Amen.
No more weakness.
Amen.
No more weakness.
No more weakness in the name of Jesus Christ. No more weakness in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Spiritually, we are empowered. Mentally, we are empowered. Bodily, we are empowered in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we sanctify this blood of Jesus and the flesh of Jesus. The name of the Father,
amen.
The name of the Son,
amen.
The name of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As you partake of it, you are strengthened and fresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the glory of God will reflect in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give us some and let us partake of the communion. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.